When we were growing up, were you more prone to imagining yourself playing with swords or with guns?
I was definitely swords. We grew up with woods around us, so it was not uncommon to go out and try to find the perfect stick that was going to be your sword. I remember getting dirty before church, playing with sticks out and getting in trouble with mom and dad. And then I also have vivid memories of after the Narnia movies came out, with our younger brother David and their neighbor kid, like finding our swords and pretending that we were like centaurs and different, like, Narnia creatures, and like fighting all of these hordes of, imaginary bad guys. It's a lot of fun. How about you?
I also definitely gravitated more towards swords. And I think a lot of that has to do with Star Wars. When we got a little bit older, we had like our lightsabers and we made some crazy weird videos of us playing and doing lightsaber battles. And Paul was always the bad guy and I was always the hero. And that's called older brother privilege right there. But I had this one memory. This is before we had lightsabers and all the neighbor kids were out and our dad was playing lightsabers with us and we were using sticks. And I just got a little wild and I hit our dad right in the face with the stick and like the little branch that came out and it went through his lip and he had to go to the emergency room.
Get
And
stitches.
I think that's why we ended up getting lightsabers pretty soon after that, because you're not going to stab someone through the lip with a lightsaber. I think that has nothing to do with why we got lightsabers, but yeah, we did have some, like we had airsoft guns and I remember getting a BB gun for my 10th birthday. It was like a really big deal, which was fun.
500 pumps to be able to shoot,
You
though.
pump it, air pump version. And so we did play with guns, but it wasn't ever something we like imagined. It was more of a
We could
like
play with Nerf guns a decent amount, but it was more guns, I feel like, for us was more tangible, physical, where like
the swords.
imagination wise it was more of
Yeah,
swords.
for sure. I 100% agree. Well, welcome to IndieQ. Each week we are looking at a new indie game and we're putting it in our queue, our line, to let you know when which games we think that you should play first. And so this week we are playing the game Fury.
Yes, so Fury is another bullet hell game, another boss rush game. It's got like a 3D aesthetic, but I'd say it's more of a top down with like a slight angle, so it doesn't like it's not like you're looking straight at your character's top of their head. But you're definitely there's no jumping. It's just like moving around the arena, and then you're using both melee and ranged
So you
attacks.
got your sword, your katana looking thing, and then you have like a pistol that you can shoot as well. And the whole premise of the game is just starts off and you are in this very elaborate prison, and this character is like encouraging you, like,
To escape.
hey, you need to escape from prison. And so the bosses are these different jailers that are trying to keep you in prison. And you don't really know anything about your life, your backstory. You're just fighting your way through this prison. So that's really the general concept of what you're trying to do in this game. And so this is actually a game that I played a number of years ago and had a really good time. I really enjoyed the game. And so I was presenting it to Paul as a game to play for IndieQ. And
This is probably back during season one. And I remember I put it on my computer at the time, and my computer just was not powerful enough. And it was so glitchy that I didn't realize it at first. I'm just like, this game absolutely sucks.
so
And
unresponsive. I
then,
can't do anything. Did you make it past the first boss?
no, I couldn't even like
It
get
was
how
not
hurt him. It
functional.
was not in a functional state. And so we didn't play it because of that. And then I've since got a Steam Deck. And so I'm like, Brad really liked this game. Let's give it another try for the queue.
So before we go into more of the details of our feelings in the game, I think there's some interesting like pieces that get introduced in this game. Right off the bat, like the guy who's trying to help you escape is this like guy who's got like this rabbit costume on, which is like really weird and creepy a little bit. And as the game starts, like when I started playing it, I was wondering, is this like an actual tangible character in the world, or is it like my conscience that's like telling me things and like trying to convince me that I'm actually justified in trying to escape from this prison, that this very elaborate prison? I don't know. Do you have it? What are your thoughts on just the idea of a conscience and those types of things.
I mean, the first thing I think of when I hear conscious is Jiminy Cricket.
Okay.
Other than that, it's not something I think about a ton. I definitely think people have some semblance of them, but I've also heard that a lot of people don't have inner dialogue, and so if you don't have inner dialogue, I don't know how you could possibly have a conscience. It's in the whole, like, NPC aspects that a lot of people have, like, are these people just dumb and they have inner dialogue, but they don't recognize that's the case? Because I can't imagine living life without having any sorts of inner dialogue.
Yeah. I feel like one of the major, like, things that pops up when I think of conscience is just, like, and you can take this in a negative way, but, like, the feeling of guilt. Just, like, hey, there's something wrong with what I'm doing right now. Or I don't know if that's necessarily guilt, but it's, like, this red flag that comes up when something seems off. And I think that even if you don't have, an inner dialogue, like what you're saying, everybody that I've had, like, a conversation with, regardless of if they had that inner dialogue or not, like, I see those red flags that pop up of, like, something feels wrong, and that almost feels that way to me.
That makes sense. I could buy that. That there's more of a instinctual level of, like, whether or not you think that this actions are good, and whether or not you are going to listen to that, or you're going to push through. If your desires outstrip that sense of foreboding that you feel about something.
Yeah, and I think that some people have, like, a conscience, and I think most people's conscience is actually directing them, or, like, the idea of those red flags that pop up are, like, this feels kind of weird, or, like, there's some element of me that is resistant to this. And I think a lot of times it's, like, kind of buried deep within us, where it's, like, I don't have a really strong reason for doing a specific thing. But I think our culture is trying to teach us what's most important is that we enjoy life, that we are happy. Happiness seems to be the highest ideal. And I think that's interesting because I feel like our happiness meter is so focused on what's going on right now rather than what could be, what the ramifications of our actions will be later on. So anyways, I think that that's just an interesting piece. One of the other things that, like, came up to me as I was, because I replayed this game right before we were recording this. And one of the things that the rabbit character, your conscience, who's not actually your conscience, but that's what it felt like when we first started, or when I started playing it. He keeps saying this thing over and over again. The jailer is the key. Kill him and you'll be free. And the weird part is, you follow through, you kill the jailer, but you're still in this prison and you have to, like, move on to the next thing. You're not, freedom actually isn't there. And I guess in my head, it, like, parallels our world where it's like, if only you can reach to the next thing. If you get more money, if you get this thing, then you'll be happy. Then you'll have meaning in your life. And I think the reality is that those things aren't actually going to bring the things that you think it's going to bring. Do you have any thoughts, like, in that realm?
Yes. I mean, not necessarily that. I was thinking about during the game. I think it presents it pretty clear. I definitely see what you're saying philosophically on this. But it's like, hey, there's all these jailers that you need to get out. It's like the key to the next room. To the next thing. I definitely see that in our lives of, like, chasing after stuff. And in the game as well, it's like the journey aspect is what is the fun. The game is broken up between your boss fights and then the rabbit guy monologuing at you while you walk to the next boss arena. And the boss fights are definitely where the intricate gameplay is happening. You know, each boss has, you know, a different arena, each boss has different phases, and you're having to combine your melee and your ranged attacks, and there's times where you need to focus more on one, or dodging and stuff, or parrying, I think the game makes the bosses flesh out all of the aspects of
your kit.
Your kit, yeah. You can't just have this is a singular play style, and it might work for some of the bosses, but it doesn't work for all of the bosses. And so I feel like there's definitely like a journey destination thing, because I feel like you're definitely like unsatisfied, even in, at least I felt this way in the gameplay, of like, you're in the boss movement and you're doing interesting stuff, but then you're able to beat the boss, but there's still like this sense of like, I don't feel, story-wise, I don't necessarily feel, I don't feel bad. I'm progressing towards something, but I'm not feeling good, or I don't have like this sense of like elation, or if I do, it's very short lived after, oh yes, I got through that final phase.
Yeah. I think as I was playing through it the second time, I was sticking much more in the philosophical realm of things. Because you start, as you're going on, you're starting to realize maybe there's a good reason that you are in this prison. And as the game like ends, you're like, oh, there was a really good reason. Cause you start realizing like, who, like, why they even have you there. Like, you don't know at the beginning. You're just like, I'm just going to go try to escape. And so I think we can jump into maybe our experience of the game. Yeah.
So my first experience was absolutely awful, like I said. And then my second time playing it, I beat the first boss and then got into the second boss. And there's an aspect of the game, I'm not sure if it's the loop nature of the game or something about the game just did not jive with me, in that a lot of the different phases are a lot of just like surviving the bullet hell, and it's just like it's going to take a long time to get towards the end where you died last time, and which is kind of, it feels weird to me because like I'm someone who like enjoys Souls games, and I'm very into, you know, learning the patterns and figuring out how to beat the boss. That did not jive with me. The controls felt a little bit off. Just did not feel as responsive. I'm thinking of like, you know, we played Cuphead recently, and I just felt like it was very tight, and I felt like when I made mistakes, it was my fault and not the game's. And sometimes it wasn't like it did stuff I didn't input, but it just felt really sluggish to me. Which is weird, because that sluggish and bullet hells are not something that you want to go hand in hand.
It's so weird because my experience with this game is so different. And I wonder if, even when you had your Steam Deck, if there was something...
I don't think the game was off.
It clicked with my brain. The first time through this game, for me, it was, like, really, really hard. Like, as it's teaching you the different aspects of the game, like, the first area is much more, like, focused on the melee, and the second area is a lot more focused on the range, so that you can like start utilizing both of them. Mm-hmm. And so I remember having a really hard time in that second stage.
I did not find this game to be super difficult. Like, I would be mad if I, like, during fights when I didn't beat the boss on my first try. And I mean, I think the worst one, I think a couple times I fought up to 5 times. I don't think I'm like some great gamer, but I think one aspect of the game that also, it's like, it was my favorite aspect of the actual game, was the parrying.
Yeah.
There's a later game boss where it's literally just all you can do is parry. Like, if you start attacking, you have to like wait for these very specific windows. And that was probably my favorite boss. But my biggest gripe with the whole thing is I've played Sekiro, which is, you know, a FromSoft game that its whole premise is parrying, and it just does everything so much better, more to my liking. It felt like there was really weird, I did not feel like the visual and the audio cues for when you're supposed to parry line up, to the point where it's like I wouldn't even look at the visual component because I would always miss it, and I'd always just listen for the audio cue, and then in doing so, parrying became super easy. And so
it looks like there are times when it looks like they're about to attack you, but they won't. They're not going to attack you. And then there's like a light that glows at the same time as the parrying noise like, hey, I'm about to attack you, comes up. And so you just did only the audio.
And so I got that pretty quick, and then parrying is not that challenging. And so I feel like a lot of the challenge is the fact that there's all these feints and fake outs. And then once you realize that, hey, just don't even care about watching that. Just listen.
Yeah.
And then you can do that. And so, I don't know, I felt like I was constantly comparing it to other games that I liked the gameplay more, the story more, and the art more.
Yeah, well, and that totally makes sense, because I've never, like, as you're explaining that, like, that sounds really fun. I've only played one Souls game.
Partially. Oh, I guess you played
I played Salt Sanctuary. Sanctuary. Like, that's the only one, and, like, it's a 2D one, so it's, like, a completely different type of thing. And, also, like, the first time I played this game, like, this was, like, the first kind of one of those, like, bullet hell boss rush type of games I'd ever played.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I had not, like, when I played it this time, like, I beat the whole game in, like, a couple hours. Because I was just flying through. But I, like, already knew a lot of what to expect. So
you
I was also
you
coming
had learned
in,
how to.
I had learned how to play the game already. And then I've also, since then, played so many more really hard games.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so, like, that adds. So you're coming into this game that's maybe on the lower tier of these, like, boss type of games where it's, like, punishing, yeah. like, and you'll set you back or whatever. But this is just yeah, not.
But,
go ahead.
But by far my biggest gripe was the, like, juxtaposition and the feel of you're fighting the bosses, and then this in-between stage where your character just walks forever, mm-hmm. and the bunny suit guy just monologues at you. I found it really annoying. I did find out that you couldn't just push one button and then not touch your controller, which is way better, because every time the angle changed, if you, like, moved your finger off the joystick,
you had to readjust
which way you're walking, which was super annoying. But by the time I did my full playthrough, I figured out you can just, like, push one button. But you're still just watching your guy walk. The bunny guy will say, like, two lines of dialogue and then waits for you to keep walking forever.
And, like, I will say, I totally agree with you on this point. It bothered me a lot, too, this aspect of the game. It's like, can I just hit a skip button and get to the next
boss? But even if you want to be story, like, I feel like he didn't have that much dialogue. It's literally 5 minutes of walking sometimes. But he probably gives you 40 seconds of dialogue, if that.
Yeah.
Which I just found so infuriating. It's like, are you just padding the runtime of your game?
Like, it is confusing as to what the purpose of that. And I think the only thing that comes to my mind is they put together the world in walking in between the spots. And they have some pretty interesting visuals. I think that's what they were trying to go for. Like, we made all these cool things. Like, we want people to see them, but they're not that cool. And really, the draw of the game is more the actual boss fights.
Yeah.
And you didn't even like the boss fights that much.
I didn't.
But I think you were mentioning this earlier, too. Like, when you, like, fail and you're set back to the beginning of the whole area, like, some bosses, it is not that big of a deal because it doesn't take that long to get through the phases. But there was one boss in particular for me that just, like, made me want to...
Was it the sniper lady?
Yes.
She's so cheap lady. And stupid.
But it's like, I didn't know what I was supposed to
do. She can one-shot KO you at full health.
And it's so funny because that didn't happen to me. But I remembered that. But I'm like, I'm chasing her, and then you get to her area, and then she runs away again. And it's like, can you just, like, fight me? Like, this is not hide and seek.
Mm-hmm. The fight itself, when you're actually fighting her, is not as... It's
totally fine.
Fine compare, but the act of getting into the fight is just horrendous.
And it's like, you get to that area and she, like, sneaks away, and then you, like, have to follow her, and then...
Then you fight a little bit and then she runs away again. And so you might get to, like, I hated it when you get to, like, the final part, and then if you don't, you know, win, then you have to literally go through the whole chase sequence again.
Yeah.
Only way it could be worse is if they made you walk the whole way and listen to the guy's monologue every time you died and you had to play again.
Yeah, they do. You do get to jump back in afterwards, so you don't have to listen to that all over again. But other than that particular fight in that particular phase, which is the very first phase, so, like, when even the second run through, like, I didn't beat her my first time through, and I actually got through that first.
Were you mad?
Yes, but it's because that part was so stupid. Like, this, that one part, that one phase really bothered me. another interesting thing in this game that is going to go back a little bit into gameplay is at the very end, you texted me this right before, like a couple of days ago. Like, did you know that there's like a extra bonus hidden boss? And I had, and I actually played the extra boss. And what are your thoughts just in general, like about like those hidden extra bosses at the end of games? And how do you think that this one like executed that idea?
I love hidden content or optional content, or when devs are confident enough that they're going to say, we're going to make all this cool stuff, but we're not forcing you to see everything that we did. Especially in exploration games, I think like Elden Ring is the one I think of most. Is there is so much content in the game, but the actual path that you have to take to beat it is like super short, and you would just miss, you know, 90% of the game if you did only the critical path. But so I think that's super cool, and I appreciate games where they have like challenges hidden inside of them. Like, I don't know if we mentioned it in our Cuphead episode, but during the run and gun levels, if you beat the level without killing anything, you get a pacifist ranking. And then if you get all of them pacifist rankings, you can go to a character and unlock a black and white filter to play the game in black and white, which just fits the, you know, the aesthetic of the, you know, the cartoon feel. And I think stuff like that is super cool, and like, is just like, hey, let's give all these bonuses to the people who really love our games.
Yeah.
I really disliked in this game the fact that they have you're spoiler alert, you break out. Big surprise in the game that you're trying to do that the whole time. And credits are rolling and you walk about a quarter mile an hour. And, like, you see stuff in the distance, and you're kind of, like, compelled to go to it, but credits are rolling, and you're like, this takes forever. And you're telling me that once the credits finish, you can go super fast.
Super fast, yeah.
And that's how you end up getting to the, you know, quote-unquote secret final boss.
Right.
But even once I knew that that's how you did it, I tried to get back in there, and just the watching the credits fall while moving so slow just drove me insane, and it was a game I already didn't like that much.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, screw it. I'm not going to waste my time doing this.
No, yeah. And I think that, like, the game needs to earn it for you to, like, want to really engage with it a ton. And it didn't earn it for you. So it's just like, it's too much of a hurdle for me to get into this.
But I'm also glad, talking to you, you seem to have really enjoyed this game a lot more than I have, and that you were able to go do this and feel, I don't know, I always love that, you know, that playground feel of, you know, back in the early 2000s of telling your friend about something in the game, or having someone tell you about some secret, and then going home and trying that. And I feel like that's kind of what they were going for. Like, hey, did you play the secret level? What? There's a secret level?
Right.
But it doesn't hit quite as hard in the age of the internet, and then also when you're not just, like, with other people who are constantly doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I definitely, like, when I first played this game, like, jumping right back in and, like, wanting to try to beat all the bosses as quickly as possible and being able to skip over all the dumb walking scenes. Like, you can totally do that. And I remember feeling that way when I first beat the game. I was like, yeah, I could play this again. And there's like you could up the ante. There's like a harder mode as well, which I didn't actually end up playing. But like replaying it like this time again, I was like, I wonder if I'll be able to go through it pretty quickly. And I felt very accomplished being like, I can fly through these levels, and just being reminded of those little like story beats. It's like, oh, that's fine. But I was annoyed by having to walk through everything. But you ready to rank this sucker?
I think so.
All right. So My gut, it's definitely not going to be in Skip the Line or Cut Ahead.
Correct.
It's going to be in the bottom two. Do you want, like, what are your thoughts on between Wait Your Turn or End of the Line?
It's kind of like at the cusp between the two.
Okay.
For me?
Yeah, I would want it to be in Wait Your Turn, personally. But I totally would. If you have good arguments, I'm okay with it dropping.
I'm looking at the games in End of the Line, which are Ali Ali, Retro Bowl, Dicey Dungeons, and Into the Breach. And the only one I could even make any sort of argument for over it would be Into the Breach. But I feel like that's kind of a stretch. Especially since Into the Breach, and the other games too, feel more of like mobile games. And Into the Breach is just a phenomenal mobile game.
Right.
Which I just feel like it's just a different category.
Do you want to start at the bottom of the Wait Your Turn and see if it climbs at all?
We can, but it could be short.
It could be very short. That's okay. So the very bottom.
Or we could just have plummet from the top.
Do you want to have to do that?
Let's plummet.
That's a rail on this game a little bit. All right. Salt and Sanctuary versus Fury. You missed one of the end of the lines. Is Super Auto Pets, but
also a mobile game. So also it fits the theme.
Yeah, it fits the theme. So the top of Wait Your Turn is Salt and Sanctuary. So also like that Souls like we were talking about earlier. To be honest, I love the exploration more in Salt and Sanctuary and this like the open feel. I actually kind of like the boss fights more in Fury. But I think that Salt and Sanctuary is a much better game because all the upgrading system.
Boss fights is all that there is in Fury. Where Salt and Sanctuary, there are so many bosses and like so many different, you know, parts of the level where it's like the boss is really like the culmination of your exploration into a level.
Right.
And like knowing that safety is right around the corner.
Yeah.
If you can get through this really hard guy, you're also way more. Fury is way more forgiving in that you can take a bunch of damage and get knocked down a bunch of times. Whereas Salt and Sanctuary, I feel like your health pool is a lot lower and just getting hit a couple times could take you out.
Yeah. So I still think Salt and Sanctuary is a much better game.
Yes.
So Fury versus a short hike. Short hike.
I adore.
It's lovely.
Adore a short hike.
Get out of here, Fury. Okay, we'll continue on. Chance of Sinar in Fury.
Oh, Chance of the Sinar is just so mentally pleasing of just figuring out the puzzle aspect of it mixed in with like this good aesthetic art-wise. And Fury's art, I did not jive with me either.
It's funny because I was totally fine with the art. We like have such different opinions. We usually have pretty similar opinions on games, and I like the art style. Like
you hate Salt and Sanctuary's art.
I do.
And I hate Fury's art.
That's totally fine. But I think we both know that Chance of Sinar is definitely better than Fury. So this is when I'm interested, just your opinion, because I think Crypt of the Necrodancer is much better than Fury.
I agree.
But you agree. Wow, you really don't like Fury that much. So want to just keep moving?
I actually feel like these are probably the close ones for me as far as comparing wise. There is the dungeon diving versus this boss fight to get out of an area. But the like I said, I think the mechanic of the rhythm game, there's a little bit of the rhythm as far as like I was talking about with the parrying. Mm-hmm. There's a rhythm aspect to that, but I actually say it's more of an auditory cue. There is a visual aspect to it. I think more rhythm, partially because of Sekiro is such a rhythm game in disguise. I really need to get you to play it because I think you would find it super hard. And then once it clicks, I think it could be one of your favorite games.
Huh.
We'll have to talk about more of it off episode.
Okay. But you like Crypt of the Necrodancer.
Also, I like the fact that there's different weapons and stuff. This is like you have a set, and there's no stupid in between walking simulator boringness.
Oh man. So, but speaking of walking simulators, you got Dredge. You're driving your slow little boat, putzing around, but no, you're actually going somewhere and doing something with your life instead of...
I just feel like Fury is so narrowly focused, which is a fine thing to do for your game. But if you're going to have such a narrow focus, I feel like for me to love the game, you have to knock that out of the park. And it just didn't for me.
And so you put a Dredge above Fury.
Yes.
Moving down to the next one. What Remains of Edith Finch?
This is literally a walking simulator. But they, because that is their focus, is like you are walking through and the story is being told to you. The story is so much deeper. There's so much more like intricate camera work and storytelling and like emotional resonance. Or I feel like if you think of, I don't want to spoil the game, like the story of the game, because for Fury, but there is like a lot of ramifications to ponder and think about, which are interesting. But the presentation is just, of how you get that story, like I said, is just probably my biggest gripe of the game.
I didn't say this earlier, but one of the things that bothered me as well is like the last boss, not the final hidden boss, was like super, super easy.
Yes, first like, try.
Yeah, it's like, and I remember the first time I played it too, it was like, it was really easy. Like, some of the bosses, like, oh yeah, I gotta figure them out, and maybe I died a couple times, but like, I'm still able to do this on my first try. Like, because you have like kind of three lives when you're going through it. But like, it was just like the easiest one. Like, I felt like the easiest level of the whole thing. Anyways, I want to put What Remains above Fury as well.
I know.
So, Golf Story in Fury. Golf Story is the bottom of Wait Your Turn.
I'm curious. Where do you...
Where would I...
Golf Story versus Fury for you.
I feel like some of the sour taste of the replay of Golf Story has gone away for me. Where when we played it for the episode for Golf Story, like, I did not really enjoy it because I'm like, it was so good the first time I played it, and the second time I played it, it just like fell flat. But I feel like a lot of those negative emotions that I had for Golf Story have kind of dissipated.
I also think Golf Story, if we were to sit down and play a versus match, the golfing mechanic is pretty fun.
Oh, for sure. Which is why, even though the story bothered the crap out of me the second time I played it, the gameplay was still really fun.
Yeah. So,
I would actually, I think I would put Golf Story above Fury.
I am 100% in agreement. I think this is a really fun, doesn't fall in line with this. I actually think the best comparison between any game on the queue, but for Fury, is actually Celeste.
Okay, tell me why.
Celeste, its main thing is this climbing, it's this platforming. We're going to focus solely on platforming. We have story sprinkled out, you know, kind of between the levels, sometimes at midpoints for the levels, just like Fury has the, you know, your main mechanic or your main gameplay, and then you have like the story lore bits. They're kind of separated. They're not necessarily intertwined. They're challenging. And then they also have like increased difficulty levels. I think they're desired to be speedrun, which is, I just think it's so funny because Celeste is like one of our top favorite games.
And this was so much lore. And
I just feel like Celeste hit the mark every time. And I feel like Fury
only hit it a couple times.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's like an awful game that you should never play. I just, for me, especially with just having played more games and played more indie games, I feel like that's been our MO for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. No, it's funny, even they both have a dash that you're like, that you can get to different places more quickly and stuff like that. Like, it has similarities in that, but that's really all the similarities other than that.
The fact that they're comparable in that way at all, I think is crazy. Cause to me, there's such different, you know,
worlds. Yeah. So I guess we need to make one final, Fury versus Super Auto Pets, because Super Auto Pets is the very top of the end of the line, and right now, Fury has fallen all the way down through the entirety of Wait Your Turn. Paul, what do you think is a better game, Fury or Super Auto Pets?
Okay, I can guarantee you I'm not going back to Fury. Every once in a while, the addictive nature of like the fast paced, you know, see what happens. Super Auto Pets intrigues me.
So the reason that Super Auto Pets is so low on this list is you.
For sure.
I love Super Auto Pets.
I know you do.
I still play Super Auto Pets. And so
I'm okay with Super Auto Pets being above Fury.
All right. Okay. So it sounds like Fury is going down into the end of the line. Fury versus Into the Breach.
I like Into the Breach.
And you don't like Fury.
I don't like Fury.
Here's the deal. I think it should go right below Into the Breach and right above Dicey Dungeons. I'm very okay with it. Like, I enjoy Fury, but there's so many good games on this list. And we kind of have, like, that end of the line is almost just mobile-ish games.
Yeah.
Even though Dicey Dungeons isn't a mobile game. But all the other ones kind of have that feel. It could. But I feel like this is like a legit game. It's not a mobile game at all. But
this is us making it so that it's not just the mobile game category.
It's not the mobile game category. And I might fight for getting Super Auto Pets into the Wait Your Turn at some point in my life. But out of 25, this is our 25th game. Out of 25 games, Fury is the new number 22. Even though it's super low, I still had a great time with it. So that shows you how much I really do enjoy all the games on this list. Only really the very bottom one was more just like a throwaway one to me. Everything else,
Ollie is a perfectly good mobile game.
I didn't like it that much. That's why it's at 25.
I don't like mobile games. That's what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, yeah. Anyways, thanks for joining us again for IndieQ. We will see you next week.